Blog Talk Radio.
First Peter 1:15, as he which is holy, which has called you, is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or in all manner of living. Hallelujah. And the only way that you can do that is when you fall in love with Jesus.
Separation. Separation from sin, separation from the world. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, which says simply, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Be ye holy, for I am holy, God says. If we expect to have the Holy Spirit dwelling in our lives, it makes a lot of sense. We must be holy. Holiness really means being Christ-like. Holiness means every aspect of living for God. It's a privilege to be holy. It's a privilege not to be bound to sin. It's a privilege not to be addicted to alcohol. It's a privilege not to be addicted to smoking. It's a privilege not to be bound by lust and bitterness and envy. It's the most powerful thing in the world that when somebody treats you wrong, instead of treating them wrong back, you can say, look, nobody's going to manipulate me. Nobody's going to tell me how to think. The devil can't make me do this. No other person can provoke me into an ungodly situation. But through the power of the Holy Ghost, I can respond with a meek and gentle and quiet and peaceable spirit under all circumstances.
Well, don't y'all over there think of, well, y'all say you can't do this, you can't dress, and you can't do certain things.
You don't matter.
How long you talk to them until they get a revelation of who God is, they're not going to understand what holiness is. Not a must. I mean, it's not a maybe. It's a must. It's not just an optional way, another play building to get into and just say you're a believer, but it is the only way to travel and to become a true, full-hearted believer.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We just want to thank you for joining us on another episode of Kingdom of God Ministry featuring Evangelist Kathy Montgomery, Voice of the Evangelist. We're so glad that you could join us on today. We have been in prayer praying against these storms here in the Atlanta, Georgia area. They were anticipating a lot of tornadoes and, just inclement weather, but we, Jesus rebuked the wind. He rebuked the storm. So we have that authority in Christ Jesus, and we have been speaking to this storm that it will pass over. Amen. Amen. I have my dear husband, Bishop Bob, on the line today, and I'm glad to take him out of his busy schedule to join us. But today we will be speaking on forgiveness. And if you understand forgiveness is deeper than what a lot of people think, and I know unforgiveness can possibly hinder your prayers from being answered. So whatever you trust in and believe in God, well, the first step is, so he said, lay it on the altar and reconcile to the brother or sister if you've done them wrong or they have done you wrong. Now, everybody may not be in agreement with forgiveness. You may go to that person and approach approach that person and say, look, brother or sister, I'm wrong, I'm sorry, they might receive it. But guess what? You shake the dust from your feet and you move on because that has released you. So right now we're going to open up the phone lines. Our guest call-in number, 646-668-8633. If you would like to call in, if you have prayer requests, if you have a question. This is Relationship Wednesday. And every Wednesday we open the platform up for your questions and comments. And Bishop and I, God has blessed us, you know, in that area of ministry as well. And so we flow in that, and we are in the process of completing our book, so keep that in prayer as well. So, Father God, we want to thank you on today. Lord God, we thank you that you are an awesome God, and you are worthy to be praised. Lord God, we yield ourselves as a vessel unto you so that you can use us the way you desire, Lord God. We get self out of the way, and we ask that your Holy Spirit come in and take full control over this program. Lord God, we speak to those that are listening in our listening audience, the depressed, the oppressed. Lord God, and we ask that you bring forth a spirit of joy and rejoicing. Let them know that you have heard their prayers. Let them know that you are the deliverer. You have come to set the captives free. So no matter what they're going through, Lord God, let them know that you are with them. You said you would never leave us or forsake us. That is your promise that you gave to us on today. So, Father God, we just are in an atmosphere of thankfulness, gratitude. Lord God, we can't forget where you brought us from. And neither will we understand the depths and height that you want to take us to. And Father God, right now we're yielding ourselves to you, Lord God, to be totally consumed by you. Holy Spirit, we empty ourselves out to you because we just want your will, Father God, in our lives. God, we want to be pliable to move when you say move, to sit when you say sit. Lord God, we don't want to move hastily, but we want to trust you. And Lord God, we just thank you. I lift up my husband to you on today, and I just ask that you strengthen him as he go on his endeavor today. Bless him, protect him, bless our family, our children, Lord God. We speak life over their lives. We ask that they rise up, those that are, you know, where they don't need to be. We ask that you put them where they need to be, Father God. We thank you for our grandchildren, that you have blessed us with beautiful grandkids, and they're excelling in the things of God as well. And Lord God, we just want to give you praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. So, as I was saying, today we are speaking on forgiveness. And that is a big topic because you know what I found? A lot of people sitting right up in church full of unforgiveness. They go to church every Sunday, raising holy hands, singing praise to Yahweh, but they can't get the unforgiveness part down because somebody had wronged them. And some of this stuff that you hold on to, you would be shocked of how small it is. Now, I know there are some big things that people go through, but sometimes unforgiveness could be just as simple as somebody didn't speak to you right. So I'm harboring that. Look, we got to mature. That's why I said, the program is called Building Godly and Mature Relationships. So at that, I'm going to yield the floor to Bishop. I know he's on a tight schedule, so I'm going to just yield the floor, and he can go as God lead him, and then I'll come back with some scriptures as well. So we are energetic with each other. Amen?
All right.
All right, Bishop. Amen.
All right. Praise the Lord. I'm so happy to be on the program today, and I know that we're talking about forgiveness, and I want to say a little bit about what forgiveness is or how to forgive someone. So we want to get into that a little bit. And so in reference to that, it says we got to remember what forgiveness involves. It says you are not condoning the wrong or acting as if it never happened. You are simply letting it go. So forgiveness involves letting a wrong to you go. You're letting it go. You're not holding on to it. You're not getting angry or mad every time you think about this person. That's not what you're doing. And then you have benefits of forgiving. And what that is you're letting go, just what I just said, you're letting go of anger and resentment. Letting go of anger and resentment can help you keep calm. It improves your health. You got health benefits from it. And it increases your happiness. That's Proverbs 14 and 30, Matthew 5 and 9. It said, more important, forgiving others is a key to receiving God's forgiveness for your own sin. You have to remember that now. If you don't forgive people, then the scripture says, then you're not forgiven of your sin. So in other words, you're still in sin.
Amen.
Because you won't forgive your brother or your sister. God's forgiveness for your own sins, that's Matthew 6, 14, and 15, also says in forgiving, you have to be empathetic. In other words, you have to have the attitude of you know what that person's going through, or you went through what that person went through. It says, all of us are imperfect, James 3 and 2. But as we appreciate being forgiven, we should likewise forgive the mistakes of others. Matthew 7 and 12. And then again, we must be reasonable. Say, we have a minor cause for complaint, just like Evangelist Montgomery was just saying a moment ago. We can apply the Bible's counsel, continue putting up with one another. Colossians 3 and 13.
Amen.
Says, act quickly. Work to forgive as soon as you can, rather than letting your anger fester. Ephesians 4, 26 and 27. In other words, you don't give that thing time to build up resentment, to build up bitterness, to escalate. You quickly ask for forgiveness. Now, here's the thing. This is what I want to bring out. What is important is that you forgive.
Amen.
The person being offended, forgive. Once you forgive that individual, it's off of you. You let that go. Now, you can't be concerned whether that person forgives you or not.
That's true.
Have done what the Lord has desired you to do, and that you forgave that person. Once you forgive that person, once you let that person go, you're not mad every time you see that person. You're not holding bitterness in your heart or anything like that. You are free. Not only are you free, is that your prayers are not hindered, and you're not in sin. You see? So Forgiveness is key to salvation. Believers, Christians should not walk around mad, angry, have aught against people, can't stand people. No. We have to get that out of our spirit. So I'm going to leave that.
Amen.
I'm listening.
Oh, I just wanted to go back. You said, walking around in unforgiveness, and let's go back to relationships, and I find a lot of unforgiveness is in relationships. They may say they forgive each other, but they keep bringing stuff up that happened years ago, or you got people walking around that can't forgive their parents. You know, maybe they was hurt when they were a child, or the parent did something that, you know, maybe hurt at them. And I'm not saying emotions. You do have emotions. But at some point, we have to release the parent, we have to release that spouse. We have to be able to move on past that. Because one thing you say, it could cause also spiritual infirmities, but it can cause also mental infirmities, health infirmities, all that bitterness and anger, and you holding it into you. It can cause anxiety, frustration, confusion. I mean, there are so many of the laundry list of things that unforgiveness can cause. And I just wanted to bring that out. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Right. So did you have something else you needed to say before you leave?
Evangelist Montgomery, I'm going to stand back and just listen.
Amen. Well, thank you for calling in, and I'm just going to go over these scriptures that God placed on my heart, and we continue. If you have something, just, you know, you raise your hand or whatever, and I'll bring it in. Amen. Thanks, honey.
Okay.
All right. Amen. So as you see, as Bishop was saying, and this is a scripture I just want to reiterate, forgiving someone, we know it can be difficult. when that person has, I'm talking maybe something detrimental happened in your life, or, oh, Lord, there's so many things. But it really is a choice. You have a choice to forgive that person and release that person. It's not saying that you condone what the person did. What it's saying is, I release this person and I'm turning them over to God. So, yeah, forgiving someone can be difficult. I'm not here to tell you it's not difficult to forgive. Why do we need to forgive others? We need to forgive. In the Bible, actually, the reason we need to forgive, like I said, so you can release yourself to begin the healing process. Forgiveness is not only about others, but also about our own spiritual growth. Love and forgiveness cannot be separated. If we choose to live out the love of God as the purpose of our life, then forgiving is an option that cannot be avoided. Did you hear what I said? You have a choice right now to forgive. Yeah, I know what that person did. Now, I'm talking about relationship wins down. Oh, he may have did you wrong. He may have abused you. He may have, he or she, and I'm not just saying the men, the women too. It goes both ways. But you have to make that decision. You have to make the choice and say, Lord, I'm hurting. I was hurting, but I released it. And I give it over to you. This is what Matthew 6, 14 and 15, it says, for if we forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your heavenly Father will not forgive your sins. You know, that's deep. People take this verse lightly. But did you hear what God said? He said, when you forgive men, when they sin against you, do you wrong? You see? Then God will forgive you. Wow. But if you don't forgive men, then God won't forgive you. Do you see the importance of forgiving? Do you see why it's imperative if you want to get some prayers answered to release that thing out of your heart? Amen. Colossians 3:13, bear with one another and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Thanks God want to do some today. I don't know who's listening in my listening audience, but you've been dealing with this thing for a long time, unforgiveness. You've been hurt. You've been rejected. You've even been cast aside. But God said you would give it over to him today. He would start to root out all that bitterness, all that anger, all that hurt. But you got to give it over to him and release that person that did you wrong. Amen? Ephesians 4:31 and 32, and then I'm going to open the phone lines for those who have questions. This is what God is saying, and I'm reading out the NIV. I know some of you got your King James, but it might be a little different. But Ephesians 4:31, 32, he said, get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as Christ God forgave you. Here you go back to God forgave you, now you need to forgive others. And in relationships, I see that is the hardest thing to do. And this is why you have so much domestic abuse, because you have one person in the situation trying to control another person. And if that person don't do, it's really witchcraft, trying to control that person. And because the person is a human and grown just like that person, then they want to force physical harm on that person. Look, let me tell you something. God ain't told nobody to be in an abusive relationship. And if you are, I'm speaking to somebody, if you are in an abusive relationship, seek. There are shelters, there's places you can go to get out of that environment. And ask that God protect you. Because a lot of times when you try to leave the abuser, just like with the children of Israel, and we're going into Passover week, but notice this, when he was the abuser, he was the slave master, he wanted to hold them in captivity. And so when God told him to let the people go, what did he do? He retaliated. But God had God was the children of Israel deliverer. So a lot of times when you break, say, look, I'm not taking this anymore. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to move on in faith. And I know God can heal any situation. But the first thing, God got to start healing you first. Because a lot of times, even when God delivered the children of Israel out of the bondage, out of the snare of the enemy, they wanted to go right back to it. So let God deliver you from some things. And what do you say? Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger. See, these are some of the demonic spirits that are attached with unforgiveness. And these are some of the things that need to be cast out that goes with unforgiveness. You find a person that is full of unforgiveness, a lot of times they have the bitterness, they have the anger because they can't let it go. It's hard for them to forgive. So you'll find them that they're just really just an unpleasant person to be around because you can't even really have a good conversation with them without them bringing up that past hurt. So God want to set you free on today. But he said get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, and slander. Don't sit up and start talking about that person. If you forgave them, release them. Release her. Don't sit up and make your whole conversation about that person or how somebody done me wrong song. God want to heal you, but you got to give it over to him. He said, be kind and compassionate to one another. That means that you said you release this person and they should come in your presence, you're not going to be nasty to them. You just say, how you doing? Do you need to get into a deep conversation? Not necessarily. But you could be compassionate. I remember a story for this young man. He was on one of these programs, and I was looking at him. And he had went to prison because he had murdered a woman's daughter, his wife, and her granddaughter. And he said for all those years, he sat up in prison and he had this burden in his heart. He knew what he'd done was wrong. He said, but the act of God's love was manifested when that woman, when his mother-in-law, came to the prison after all them years and told him she forgave him. Now, you know that takes some love of God because a lot of times, you know, that is a hard cup to swallow there, especially when somebody has took the lives of your loved ones. And I know it hurts. And I know we have emotions, and I know you feel the pain, but all I can say today, give it over to God. God, you know. Lord, I don't know why this person allowed the enemy to do what he did, but I'm turning him over to you. And I ask that you bring me peace in this situation. Amen? Let's go on. Jesus always was teaching on forgiveness. And this is what he said in Matthew 18:22. He said, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? In other words, when he keeps doing this to me. How many times shall I forgive him? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. So, you know, that's a lot of forgiveness right there. If somebody continually, every time you turn around doing this, and people say, well, God don't want you to be a doormat. No, he don't. But you have to release that person. And I'm not saying this to condone. Let's not get this, you know, twisted because God is not telling anybody to stay there in a domestic violence situation and you getting battered and beat all the time. That's not love itself. Love do not have you to beat and torment. That is not love. That's possession. That's control. But it's not love. Amen? And I want to put that out there for clarification, because you have some people tell you, well, God, just stay in that situation and God will change him or her. No, God didn't tell you to do that. Sometimes you have to remove yourself out of that situation and let God do the work in that person. Amen? He said, this is 2 Corinthians. He said, if anyone has caused grief, he has not so much grieved me as he has grieved all of you to some extent. Not to put it severely, the punishment inflicted on him by the majority is sufficient. Now, instead, you ought to forgive and comfort him so that he will not be overwhelmed by exhort to reaffirm your love for him. Now, that's in 2 Corinthians, so I want to read it out of the King James, because the King James have a way of just, you know, phrasing things, you know. Now, that was out of the new NIV translation. But let's read it out of 2 Corinthians, and that's 2 Corinthians 2:5-8. Amen? And we're not going to be on the line long. We're going to close it out in prayer. And if you have some prayer requests, feel free to call us. We will not be on the program Friday, but we will continue on Monday. We have some things we need to take care of. But remember, Friday is Fast Friday, and we do this every Friday. So we're going to be fasting and praying, even though we won't be on the air. We'll still be fasting and praying all your things. Amen. So 2 Corinthians 2:5-8, it reads as such. Okay, and so here it says, anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent. Not to be too severe. This punishment, which was inflicted by the majority, is sufficient for such a man. So that, on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps I say one swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. Amen? So you see, this is what the Lord is talking about. Sometimes people will inflict grief upon you. And God is not condoning the inflictions that they put on you, but he said you have to forgive and comfort him. Amen? And like I said, take a big person. In relationships, always going to be somebody say, you know what? I was wrong. I'm sorry. Let's reconcile. Let's make this thing right. But it takes a man, a mature man, woman of God. Because I'm going to tell you, in relationships, people set up and get power, like little kids. They're powered over some of the silliest things. Sometimes they'll get an argument over a TV controller. Just anything, and won't talk for days. See, God doesn't want us to be acting like that, saint. And we need to ask God to help us to grow maturely in the things of God, so we can have a mature relationship where we won't be squabbling and fighting over the least little thing. And, you know, it's sad to me to see so many Christians, I mean, their lifestyle, their marriage is just like the world. They bicker, they fight over finances, over money, over sex. I mean, if you would put these things before God and stop being so puffed up in pride, that's what it is. A lot of marriages is based on pride. Well, I'm not going to let you tell me what to do, and you ain't telling me what to do. And you got a pride thing going on. That's the spirit of Leviathan. Need to be cast out. Too much pride. We need to humble ourselves, and we need to work together to build a successful marriage, a relationship. You can't do it by yourself. You say God gave you this person, this man or this woman, then work together to build that relationship. Amen? So let's go on. That's that cell phone, and I needed to cut it off, so I'm going to try to cut that off, but it'll hang up. But let's go on to 1 Corinthians. It's like 1 Corinthians 13:4. Now, this is the love chapter, and I hear a lot of people read this at weddings. It's that love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. Remember when I was telling you about the pride? That's not how love works. Love ain't one-sided. It's got to be my way or the highway. That ain't love. That's selfish. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. Listen to what I said. It does not dishonor others. If you're in a relationship and this person is dishonoring you, calling you on top of the bees and whores and honoring you, that's not love. It is not self-seeking. What do I mean, evangelist? What do you mean self-seeking? All this person in the relationship wants to do is please himself. So he'll use your body for sexual privileges, but he don't want to commit to you. That's self-seeking. She'll use your body for sexual privileges, but she don't want to commit to you. That's self-seeking. You see what I'm saying? It's just convenience. You know, nowadays they said a friend with fringe benefits. That means you're a friend and I can have sex with you when I want to, but I don't want to commit to you. I'm coming deep now because I see it too much in the church. You got churchgoers sitting up in church fornicating. This is not of God. Fornication, he said, let it not be named among you. Ask Kristen. If that person is fornicating, you're not good enough for this person to marry you and be with you, you need to stop it off today. If I'm good enough to take the bed, then I should be good enough to wed. Amen? Okay, let me go on, because I see too much of this in the body of Christ. It's an adultery, fornicating spirit, and it needs to be cast out. That's lust, not love, lust. But I said it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. You find in some relationship, if that person fly off the hook off of any little thing, that ain't love. Got to cuss you out because maybe you didn't cook the food or he didn't do something you wanted him to do. So you fly all off the handle. Cuss him out. Backbite. Lying. You know, this is not love. Look, I'm telling you. This God said, those are not the attributes of love. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. What did I say earlier? If you got somebody always tabbing, well, I remember when you did this 5 years ago, or when you did this, that is not how love operates. Love is forgiveness, given. It's kind. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with truth. Look, God can give you a mate that will compliment you. If you're trying to go in the things of God, God can bring you that mate that want to go in the things of God. God ain't going to give you somebody that you're trying to go in him, grow in him, and this person is trying to put you out there. I tell you, when we met my husband and I was at church, I wasn't a mature Christian, but I was at church. Little did I know what I was seeking. But God knew what I was seeking. And you know, he bought that man. He bought me to that man. In line, you know, trying to find a mate. And that's some of your problems right now. You're trying to find a mate on your own. And you won't let God find you that perfect mate for you. You out there on every dating line. And see, God know what you need. Look, this is why we pray. This is why we have the power of prayer. He say, I know what you need even before you ask. So if we trust him with one aspect of our life, don't you think we can trust him to bring us a mate that we need? Stop trying to find a mate on your own. Yes, you might have to live without somebody for a minute, but just trust God. I remember the story of Ruth, and we're going to get more into that. But before she found Boaz, she prepared herself, as with Esther. There's some things in the spiritual realm you need to start preparing yourself for, so when God sends this man of God to you, you'll be able to receive him. But if you're still struggling with bitterness, anger, unforgiveness, you know what? That other man gonna sense all that still up in you and in your heart, and he said, "No, you still angry. And no, I ain't the one." See, God wants you to empty that on today. He wants to heal you of all that hurt, all the pain. See, what he's doing is preparing you for the mate he has for you. And like I said, that mate will compliment you. You ain't gonna be pulling one way in God, and he's still out in the world. He's gonna be wanting the same thing. God said he will give you David was a man after his own heart. God can bring you a spouse or a mate after. You see how Bishop and I flow together? It ain't no power struggle here. It ain't about, well, he bishop and I take the back seat. No. We flow together in the things of God. And that's how your relationship could be. Even our finances. There's no power struggle in our finances. We put it in the account. And, you know, whoever is better at budgeting the money, that's who does it. But we don't have a problem like, okay, well, that's my check and that's your check. No, we're working together because a marriage is a partnership. The two people should work together to build that marriage. That's why I call it building God and my relationship. You continually build it. Scriptures, and then we're going to open with prayer in the prayer line. Okay, this is coming out of Romans, and it says, so watch yourselves. If your brother sins, he says, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. Simple as that. If he sins against you seven times in a day, and seven times come back to you and say, I repent, he say, forgive him. Now, forgiving them don't mean, I'm telling the women that's been in a situation of abuse, men, forgiving them don't mean necessarily you need to take them back that day. But you can tell him or her, I forgive you. But it may not be time for you to bring that person back. Amen? Wait, this is instruction, wait on the Lord. Let you know when it's the right time. If this is the person that he wants in your life. But the only way you're going to hear from God is if you have a relationship with God. He said, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger, they will not follow. So you will know directly when God says it's time to bring this man or this woman back in your life. If God ordained that relationship. Some of you are trying to make the relationship happen, and God didn't. God is telling you, I never ordained this because, number one, you start shacking, you start living together in fornication and in sin. I didn't bring that together. That was something you did. So God bless us. You have to turn it around. You have to repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry for stepping out of your grace to get this person. Ask God to start fixing you. And as he completes you, then if that's the person you want in your life, he can change that person. I've seen it happen. I'll tell you a story in 5 minutes, but it was this young lady that she had been married for her husband. He had left her, and she was pregnant, 9 months pregnant, and he left her for another woman. And she didn't know God at the time, but Bishop and I, we prayed with her, And she said, I just want God. And she just started growing in the things of God. She got filled with the Holy Spirit, and she just started growing. Her faith increased, and she was about 9 months due to have that baby. And she said, you know what? She said, my faith is that I believe he's going to come home right before this baby is born. Do you know that man came home before that baby was born, one day before that baby was born? And he's been there ever since. And it's been over 30-some years ago. See, God can do it. And he saved and full of the Holy Ghost. See, I'm telling you what we've witnessed, the power of God. So when a man or woman of God give you instructions, obey the instructions. Because it can be life or it can be a lot of pain if you go in disobedience. And another young lady, we told her some of the things she could do to save her marriage. And in so many words, she laughed in her face. And to this day, she's not married. Because she wanted to do it her way. Look, we pray over situations. We pray over people. Look, we don't just go and just talk. We're just going to pray and ask God for his perfect wisdom so that we could give and impart the wisdom to you that God give us. I have a call on the line. I don't know if I'll bring Patrick in. Call on you on the line. Do you have a question or comment?
Hello, Evangelist. This is Renee. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you, Renee?
I'm doing well. I thank you for the teaching on forgiveness, relationship. I was really blessed by what you said, and I thank you for the counsel as well, you know, because there were some things that I received for my own.
Mm-hmm.
For prayer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I wanted to ask for prayer. I am, I've been, I spend time and stuff with God, but I've been seeking God. I've met this lady where I live, and she has a church, and I listen to her stuff. I listen to some of her stuff online, and then she's on Periscope. But I just want to make sure, pray about the situation, because I don't want to get into anything that is not God and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
God didn't tell me to join a church, but I did go to a service that she had, and then I had this dream. But I just want the wisdom of God and just to be in the right place in this season, because sometimes I've been connected sometimes in seasons with the wrong people. And so
mm-hmm.
I just want God's wisdom. And like you said the first day when I got on the line, God has called me to ministry, and there's some things that I'm working on. But
mm-hmm.
I noticed that sometimes in seasons I was kind of – I didn't really have that covering like I needed, you know, people praying for me. And so I just want to just be in the right place.
I have your number, Renee. I'll call you after the program. We could talk because God has given me a word for you, and I'll call you. We got about 60 seconds, so I'm gonna get on the line, but I'll call you. Okay?
Okay. Yes,
right.
Ma'am. Thank you.
Be blessed. Okay. Amen. So, Father God, we're going to end the program, and Lord God, we just lift up our listening audience, and we ask that you bless them, Lord God. Just give them their heart's desire and righteousness, and let your wisdom permeate them, Lord God. They won't be indecisive and know your word. Lord God, we thank you for all things. We give you all the praise. We thank you for this program. We love you. We'll see you next week. God bless. Remember, Fast Day Friday. Have a blessed day. Bye-bye.